This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
So let's talk about Brocation coming up here in December. Me, you, Joshua Becker.
Johnny Boy.
Yes, Mark Chernoff, for sure. Five of us for sure going. And then hopefully a few more.
I'm just going to say it out loud. I want Jeff Goins to come because he keeps talking about how he wants to come and then he's so noncommittal about it. So the gauntlet has been laid, Goins. Come to Brocation.
Okay. This show is not about that. Maybe we should introduce you.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to No Sidebar. We're having a little bit of fun today. I'm here with Allison Vesterfelt's husband, also known as Daryl, who really is Daryl Vesterfelt. He does have a name. He's not just Allison's husband, but...
You always do that to me, man.
I know. You know, I gotta stop. I have a complex that I have to do it that way, and you have your own name. It's household, and you've got a lot of great things to talk about, to share. You
know. I am my own person, Brian.
Apparently, this is now the Daryl Vesterfelt show. How about that? So anyway, welcome to No Sidebar, everybody. This is another happy Wednesday. As I always introduce the show, we are here to discuss the struggles around being and becoming creative entrepreneurs. Together, we identify what stands in the way of building your business and growing it fruitfully. So today, we're just kind of having some fun, a little conversation. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Let's just start this thing off. I always play off the Allison thing. For those who are devout listeners to the podcast, you know who Allison is. She wrote the book Packing Light, which indirectly helped launch this whole No Sidebar movement. She was on a number of episodes early on in the season and is a very frequent contributor over at nosidebar.com. And I want Daryl to have a chance to talk about who he is set apart from Allison.
That's great. It's my coming out party. I like this.
So, Daryl, welcome to the show. Tell us who you are, where you live, what you do, and a little bit of, not too much of what you do, because we'll get to that later. But yeah, give us the 30-second DV story.
We kind of joke about it a lot, saying that I'm Allison's husband, but that's really where it all started for me in a lot of respects. What I do is based primarily around the work that I did for my wife. You know, when we met, it's actually a fun story. We actually met on goinswriter.com. So we owe our marriage to Jeff Goins. I joke with him about that a lot. But she wrote an article, I think, 4 years ago, and I read it. And then like 8 months later, we were married. So that's probably a story for another day because it feels like it could fill a whole episode. But when we met, she was artistic writer type, and I was kind of more of the business producer type, kind of behind the scenes. And so we do joke about that a lot, as I am Allison's husband. But that's kind of really where I started learning my chops, is supporting creative entrepreneurs to become entrepreneurs, I guess. And did it with her, helped her get a book contract and helped her build an online course and helped her grow her following online, and have kind of been the behind the scenes guy for her and for other folks as well, which has just been a really fun process. And now I serve as a teammate to creatives and help them in their entrepreneurial endeavors.
So your wife was your first client, per se. Maybe not even paid in that manner, but she helped you cut your teeth, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's actually how I tried to get my foot in the door with a conversation with her. You know, I was really attracted to her. I said something about helping her set up her WordPress site. And that was like, oh my gosh, I've been struggling with that so much. I would love your help. I remember that I was in, as far as the relationship goes, when she handed me over the password to her site to help her out.
Now, that's an extremely geeky come on sentence type of thing. So instead of you smell good, or you know, your eyes are amazing, you said, I will help you make money and become something. And she said, instead of something romantic as, oh, you had me from hello, it's here's my password.
Yep. Yep. I knew that I was in. It was kind of like that if you jump, I jump moment. And she like throws her password out to this guy that she has never met before, and I receive it as the greatest love gesture in the history of our relationship.
So very geeky and now very Titanic.
Yeah.
All right. So Allie is a creative writer. Up until a few months ago, she was freelancing on her own, which means she worked at home. You were there to support her, and you were trying to identify what you wanted to do kind of on an official level other than just support her. And that means that you are also at home. Now, I can see how creatives and non-creatives in the context of a home and a relationship could possibly be oil and water during work hours. What's it like to be at home with someone who's creative when you're not necessarily wired that way?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Brian. Not only are we creative and quote unquote non-creative, we're also husband and wife. And so I remember early on, there were several conversations as we try to figure out the tension between high level thinker, creative, and then very practical thinker, entrepreneur, where I would kind of like try to push her in directions, or I'd try to tell her things that she should be doing, or I'd try to rein her in a little bit, which is really hard to do for a creative person because you can really easily stifle someone's creativity by putting hard lines and hard boundaries and things like that around. And I remember several conversations that we first have where she would say to me, she would kind of like stop typing, look over me, glaring at me out of the corner of her eye and say, I am not your intern. So that's fun. It was an interesting thing, man. And I think as a married couple, it adds a level of complexity to it even more because, you know, we want to have a romantic and loving relationship, but then at the same time, we have to have a professional relationship. And so there's lots of dynamics that we've had to work through over the years of working from home, working together, being basically on opposite ends of the spectrum as far as practicality and entrepreneurship, strategy, and then artist. Bringing those two things together is a really difficult thing, but I think also a really powerful thing when you can find a process.
Yeah, you know, I painted it a little bit like this is going to be a difficult thing for you guys. But in reality, if you guys had both been wallflowers and no one was there to help ship, you may not have anything online. You know what I mean? Like there's that kind of the oil and water. That's probably a bad analogy, to be honest. But, you know, it's more of a complementary relationship when you have someone who is and someone who isn't and they come together. It's actually, in this case, probably better unequally yoked.
We often call it the artist and the producer, you know, that there are several artists and musicians and people who have amazing talent and amazing craft, but without a producer behind the scenes, that their craft does not get seen by people.
Is this an opportunity? I'm interrupting you because this is an opportunity for me to drop something about Begin Again with the whole creative artist and producer, because that movie is a perfect example of someone who had the talent, didn't have the discoverability. He came in, he took her, and the rest was history.
Yep, I agree completely. And I think that's a perfect image of what my relationship with Ali has been like, and with several other clients has been like, where the ideas are there, the content's there. They could write for days, or they could create content or ideas for days, but it's a matter of thinking through a strategy to get that to the people who want to hear it or want to see it or will find it valuable. And I think that artist-producer relationship is one metaphor that we've taken in our relationship and our working relationship together that has helped us to know kind of which role each of us plays. And the longer that we've done it, the more that we've begun to realize that I can just trust her. You know, she'll write something and I don't have to produce the heck out of it, because as our relationship has matured and grown, we've kind of understood our roles and the boundaries and the benefit of each other. We can kind of lean on each other in a way that we didn't before. And I think the end product ends up being better.
Okay, let's not sell you short yet, because, and you mentioned the word, you know, ideas, and often we use the word ideas and associate that with someone who's creative, but from a business standpoint, you have a ton of ideas, and you know, in the back of that, there's creativity, just more on the entrepreneurial sense, and so you and I joke a lot about every other day we're on Skype pinging each other, what do you think about this, or I might go get this domain name, or now I got to go get social media accounts because I'm going to brand something, and you know, and I don't know, sometimes I think we enable each other a little bit, but and you have a lot more leash than I do because I have a job and a partner and a company and all that, so anything I do is just kind of fun and personal. And so you have a responsibility within your marriage also to bring home some money. And so let's talk about just kind of the idea of ideas. And, you know, we did a show kind of about the whole trying to focus on too many ideas and this and that, I don't know, a few weeks back. But ideas, you know, they're everywhere. And how do you know kind of which ones to sort of might have value or potential?
That's a great question. And I don't think you really do know, which I think is part of the struggle and part of the allure of ideas. It's really, really, really fun for you to have a new idea for a few reasons, but I think mainly because there's not a lot of resistance at that point. So I think I own like 150 domain names, maybe not as many as you. I think that you've had quite a few as well.
I've purged. I own like maybe 20 now, so.
Oh, wow.
If that doesn't convict you.
Maybe I need to no sidebar my domain list.
Exactly.
But I think that's really sexy to have ideas. And I think what I'm starting to learn is ideas are actually potentially an obstacle for progress, that having 15 new ideas are going to stop you from finding the one idea that's going to work. And I think that I've struggled with this for the last year. And just in the last 6 months, I've started to find some clarity about which ideas to focus on, which ideas to kind of just put into a quote idea folder. I actually have a Basecamp project that I just call my idea folder. And I'll just drop ideas in there. If I have an idea, I'll just drop it in there. That way I don't lose it. And I can go back to it later. But it's not something that I have to start executing on right now. So I think it's a really tricky. I think ideas can be somebody's greatest strength and their greatest weakness. So somebody who has tons and tons of ideas is either somebody who is executing one or two of those really, really well, or somebody who's trying to execute 50 of them and not doing any of them.
Hey, man, you're talking about me now.
I'm talking about myself, too. You and I both know that.
Okay, one of those ideas that you had, and I was around when it kind of formed, and it's a brilliant domain name. I love the domain name, by the way, was this project that you guys have called Author Launch. Let's talk a little bit about that, because this is one of those ideas that kind of came through and was produced and is out there. And, you know, you're working with some really great people in this. So just talk a little bit about, like, what is Author Launch, who's working with you, and kind of where you want to take it.
Yeah, so Author Launch, you know, I helped my wife get a book contract just about 3 years ago, and then have helped about 15 other people write and produce and publish their books, either self-publishing or with the relationship of a traditional publisher. So we kind of had a context of how this whole process works, and we also saw a great need. So I think when we see that, we kind of have a little bit of expertise, and then we see this great need. We read an article in the New York Times that said that 85% of Americans that they surveyed said that they wanted to write a book at some point in their life, but probably never would because they don't know how. And so it was like, ding, 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 flashing lights, you know, ideas start popping up. And so we had the idea for Author Launch, which was let's create a video course that will give somebody a process to write their book. So give them one small step every week for 46 weeks, which is about 10 and a half months, that will help them have the idea, write, edit, and publish their book. So we started working on that last fall and launched it this January, basically seeing an opportunity, having an expertise to an extent. You know, I don't think we're the greatest publishing experts in the world, but we are experts in helping people overcome the obstacles and overcome the excuses that will get in front of them to writing the book that they've always dreamed about writing.
You mentioned you don't have the expertise, and obviously you have some because Allie wrote a book and she published it and all that, but and I think this is a kind of a good take-home nugget for those who are listening. You don't have to be the know-all, right? In other words, if you're going to kind of walk into something with a producer model or mentality, it's okay that you don't know everything. And it's really, really smart at that point to bring people in that have maybe more expertise or just a different point of view. And honestly, that's sort of what Copyblogger Media is right now, just from a company standpoint. Brian had a number of relationships with people who were doing things that he wasn't, but he had the idea, right? The initial idea, let's build a whole platform. I need all of these pieces. All of these people are good people and, you know, are succeeding in what they're doing. And so for you and Author Launch, you brought in a number of very reputable authors to work with you and help produce some of these, you know, training videos. Who were the people that you had with?
Yeah, and before I say who the people were, I think Brian Clark and Seth Godin had a podcast about the Empresario on the Rainmaker podcast. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about here is saying, I'm not necessarily the expert because there are some people who have 20, 30 years of expertise and they're just brilliant at it. But I wasn't that person, you know, so I was the Empresario. So we brought in authors, we brought in best-selling authors, two New York Times best-selling authors, Donald Miller and Crystal Payne, who runs the site moneysavingmom.com. And so both of them have big platforms and have also written books that have hit the New York Times bestseller list. So we brought them in as experts in building and making platforms. And also Don is known more as a writer and memoirist, whereas Crystal is maybe known as this, you know, maybe 500,000 people who read her blog. We brought people in like that who have different expertise. We brought in Jeff Goins, who has worked with smaller publishers and done really well. And also has created a platform basically from scratch And so it was a little more relatable than somebody like maybe Crystal, who is a New York Times bestselling author. We brought in Joshua Becker from Becoming Minimalist, who had written a self-published ebook that became a Wall Street Journal bestseller. We brought in Sarah May. We brought in my wife, Allison, another guy named Carlos Whitaker, another guy named Tyler Ward. All people who just had different perspectives. You know, they all kind of come from a little bit different background in the way that they approached writing. And so we just brought them in. We also had people like Derek Webb, who has an amazing program called Noise Trade Books. That's an ebook promotion that can help people promote an ebook that will help them build an audience to sell their books someday. So we just brought in as many people as we could that had different perspectives and different backgrounds to bring as much expertise to the table, because again, I didn't have 20 or 30 years of expertise, but combined between all these people, 30 books have been published and 6 of them have been bestsellers. And I thought there was just a lot that people could learn from having multiple experts sitting at the table.
Okay. So in your case, there's 2 things, and you even asked me maybe a month or two ago, kind of like identify, you know, Brian, what are my skills? Like from the outside, what do you think I'm good at? And the 2 things that for me have always rung true, an author launch is a great example of these in use, was one, the idea of, you know, ideas, you know, the skill of having ideas and being able to think things up that are underlying and brilliant and stuff like that. But the other one is networking. You know a lot of people, and you know a lot of people in high places, I guess, for lack of a better term. And so you would not have been able to execute author launch or pitch author launch to the people you mentioned, you know, like Jeff and Crystal and Joshua and so on, without having those relationships in place, right? Because otherwise you're just another guy with an idea trying to pitch them and you have no cred and all of that. And so networking, just the act of getting to know people online and sharing like-minded ideas and really just supporting other people's work because you were able to pitch them the idea and have them, you know, interested and involved. So networking, and we don't have to discuss this per se, but I just wanted to point out how important networking can be when it comes to building an online business.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it goes back to the empresario mindset. You know, it's just connecting the right people to the right places. But to do that, you have to have the relationship. So, you know, we started thinking about author launch in October of last year. We developed the concept in November. We filmed in December and launched in January. That's a pretty aggressive timeline. But in reality, it's taken us 10 years to build those relationships. So it wasn't just a matter of having this idea one day and then going out and making it. You know, we actually put in the hard work of attending conferences and showing up for some of these people's book signings and building relationships over the long term as friends. Oh my gosh, we've built these relationships over the last few years. Now let's connect relationships in, let's connect the idea in, and the output of that is a great idea. It was a great product and something that we can turn into a business.
For those of you who are interested, authorlaunch.com is the website. It is custom designed site built on the Rainmaker platform, which I'm very happy to have been a part of. So speaking of Rainmaker, a few months ago, actually last month in May, we went to an event called Authority Rainmaker. We put it on. I invited you and Allie. You had been there last year. This year, Allison came out, which I was very happy about. And we all had our own great experiences there for different reasons. We don't need to talk about mine, but you kind of went in sort of confused and came out of it with an amazing amount of clarity in terms of you, your skills, what you want to do kind of as the next step, right? The evolution of kind of author launch and what else is Daryl going to do. Let's talk about that because I think that's really the meat of this right now.
Yeah, and I think that's a good conversation to have because it's taken me a lot of time to figure out and feel comfortable in a place that I knew fit my, like, was congruent with who I am, but also was smart in the way that I'm quote unquote building my business. We talked about how having 50 ideas can be a problem, but that was always a problem for me because having one idea, I got bored so quickly. And so I felt for a long time, years actually, I felt like something was wrong with me. Everybody's telling me you got to focus on one thing, just do one thing, focus, focus, focus. And so then I would do it. I would like, quit everything else. No more design projects, no more social media management, no more of this random stuff that I'm doing. Like, I'm going to focus on this. And then I get 2 months in and I'm bored and I feel stuck and trapped and I don't know what to do. So I thought something was wrong with me. I just think I needed to focus in a different way. You know, I don't need to focus on one project, but I need to focus on one process. And so when I was at Authority, we started having relationship or conversations with people and started building these relationships. And people were asking what I did, and I was telling them about Author Launch. And I realized, wow, I've actually helped two other people build courses. This is something I'm actually becoming an expert at. And actually, both of those courses had pretty good success and saw over six figures in revenue come in just a short amount of time. And now we had just launched Author Launch, which was eclipsing both of those. I'm sitting here and I'm realizing, wow, people are asking me a lot about how to build courses because that's kind of the new thing that everybody's wanting to get into. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't need to focus just on one project. I need to focus on a process. And I actually have a process for helping people identify an opportunity, building a curriculum, and launching a course. And so I like the light bulb flipped on, I think, halfway through the event. And I was like, here it is. I don't have to feel trapped by one project because I can work on multiple projects. I have to focus on one process. So I'm bringing in the focus. I'm actually working, just launching an agency called Good People Digital, where I help people through the process of identifying an opportunity, identifying an audience, launching an online product. And right now that's coursework.
You and I both know we're friends with, and you know, even some of the people at Authority Rainmaker that we talked with. I know so many people just because of what I do within Copyblogger. I know so many people who have such great content, an amazing audience. I almost salivate for some of these people because I've gone in and done site designs for some of them. You know, I've been behind the scenes a little bit. I've understood, you know, the traffic numbers and things like that because that's part of what I need to know as I'm trying to figure out the design. And I'm staggering, you know, the couple hundred hits a day I get on my own blog or the few thousand I get at No Sidebar are like nothing compared to the real platforms. And some people don't even know they have a platform, but they've got one. And Brian and Robert have talked a lot lately over on the Rainmaker, the new Rainmaker podcast with, you know, building content and education and online and how big that's becoming. And thankfully, I get to vicariously live this, hey, all these people should do X thing just through you by watching you take this because you're skilled at it. You've got the relationships via networking. And I definitely have no doubt you'll be able to take these people and really kind of thrust them into the larger sphere of revenue just based on what you bring to the table. But
and it brings this conversation full circle, right? The artist and the producer. So the artist, I mean, some of my clients, they have millions of people that visit their site a month. All they care about is delivering amazing content to their audience. And that's amazing. I don't want them to lose that. I don't want them to lose that kind of creator artist mindset, because as soon as they do, it starts to tarnish the purity of why they started doing what they're doing. I think that's the power of team, you know? So let's bring the artist and the producer together. That's kind of the spot that I'm living in, is saying, identifying these artists who have such great opportunities to take their ideas and concepts and thoughts to a new level. And they don't have to become somebody they're not, which is the whole idea behind Good People. Like a lot of people think that to market my product or projects or to create more revenue, I have to change who I am or become somebody that I'm not. It doesn't have to be that way. Like I don't want my artists or my relationships with my clients, I don't want them to change. I want them to be exactly who they are. I bring a relationship and a skill set to the table. We patch the artist and the producer together in a relationship. Then we can have something for audiences to engage with. That's a beautiful, we've kind of tied it all up in a little bow here today. I like that we brought it all around full circle.
Yeah, now I'm having total Jerry Maguire flashbacks when you're talking about the artist and the producer. And can you imagine Cuba Gooding Jr. trying to be his own agent? You know, like how well would that have gone?
he sits down at the table with the Cardinals and he's like, show me the money.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, and what he needs is not, you know, Bob Sugar. He needs Jerry Maguire, who's going to actually love and care about him, which is you in this case. You know, you're in it not just to make the money, but because you've got the friendship beforehand, you know, the relationship that was built, and out of that can only become good things.
I think that's what all entrepreneurs ultimately want, right? Is to become more of themselves and to make money doing it. Like I want to have a career and make money and sustain my business and my concept and my ideas so I can provide for my family or myself, but I don't want to become somebody else in the process. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about.
All right, so Daryl and I are like caged monkeys at the zoo, where if you go over to iTunes and leave a comment and a rating and talk about how much you enjoyed us being on the show together and talking. I really feel like Daryl's a brother in my life, and today's show really came naturally for me. And I know that we have a lot of like-minded friends, a lot of like-minded ideas, and there's a chance that I may bring him back maybe next week, maybe on a recurring role. That all depends on...
Don't play with my heart.
But no, like, you know, if people applaud for us, we're going to perform tricks, right? You know?
Yeah, we will. We will.
So we'll climb ropes and do flips and eat peanuts and do stuff like that. So no sidebar. We're right at 30 minutes. I'm going to cut it off because that's my promise to the... To those who listen, Daryl, I know you'll be back because you won't let me not have you back. So thank you for being on the show. Love you big time and cannot wait to see what you do here in the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.